Welcome to this message from God's Word. We are so glad you joined us today. It is our prayer that God speaks to you and encourages you through this study. Now sit back, grab your Bible, and get ready to hear from the Lord. We join this study already in progress.
Well, let me tell you the odds of getting hurt by using a chainsaw. One in every 4,464 get hurt using a chainsaw. Now, probably a lot of you used your toothbrush this morning, correct? Now, the odds of you getting hurt by using your toothbrush are one in every 9,340, okay? 99,340. So only brush your teeth about 98,000 times is what's recommended. And so this morning as we look at odds, this last week was a big week for some sports fans. It was opening of the Major League Baseball season. And I'm a big Royals fan. I always have been for my whole life. There's been a lot of rough years and a couple good years. But the opening day is pretty exciting because why? Everybody has a shot, right? We all have a shot to win it all. Well, this last week, I was kind of thinking, how are my Royals going to do this year? So I looked up this on the ESPN, this article, and it said the odds of your team winning it all. Well, finally, I found the Royals. And I got to tell you, they were 1 in 500 chance of winning the World Series. And I was like, oh, man, there are some really bad teams that are getting 1 in 200. This is not going to be a good year. And do you know that a lot of you kind of remember these odds. When we overcome these odds, it's a miracle. It's a big story. Do you guys remember Miracle on Ice? Some of you might remember that. It was the 1980 Olympics where the U.S., nobody thought they could do it, but the hockey team beat the Soviet Union, and they made a movie about it because it was such a big deal because they overcame such great odds. Did you know that there's also odds about how likely your car is to get stolen? Okay, I just got to inform you, if you drive a Honda Civic or an Accord, there's a really good chance your car might be stolen. They are the number one car. Over 100,000 of them are stolen every year, okay? But let me tell you, if you own a Hyundai and you park next to a Land Rover, you're in good company. You're safe, okay? Because there's a 38% chance more that the Land Rover will get taken, okay? But just in case you drive a car like my first car in high school, you are in good shape. I drove, here it is, a 1978 Ford Zephyr, okay? Four doors, plenty of room for my friends. Baby blue interior, okay? You think you're cool? That was cool, okay? Let me tell you, if you own this car, there's a good chance you can go to the grocery store, leave your keys in the car, forget about the steering wheel lock, and it will still be there when you get out, okay? There's a good chance of it. And so those are what the odds say. But when something's really rare, when something really rare happens, we say, there's just a 1 in a million chance. Like it really, you don't think it's going to happen. And I want you to know that this morning we celebrate someone who defeated the odds when Jesus Christ raised from the grave. And so today we celebrate the odds makers were wrong about Jesus. And he defied the odds. And I got to tell you this morning, you already know it, this is a big deal. This morning is what separates us from all other religions. And it is a very crucial morning for us as Christians as we look at and celebrate the Easter miracle. And I want you to know that this morning my hope is that through this message that there you will change the way you think about God, therefore you will change how you live. Because when you change what you think, you start to change how you live. I don't know if you have kids, but I got to tell you, before having kids, my sister, I have three older sisters, and my oldest sister is about 8 years older than me. Well, she had kids. She got married when I was in sixth grade, so when I was in college, she already had a couple kids. So she would say, George, do you want to come over and babysit? And I'd be like, yeah, I'd love to babysit. You know, I would love to play with them, we'll do Legos. I'd love to have dance parties with them. But there was one thing I didn't like to do. I would never change a diaper. That was out of my comfort zone. I didn't even like to talk about it. So she knew she only had like an hour to race out and do something before, because otherwise it's on him. You know, these kids, it's on them. But I want to tell you, when I had kids, all of a sudden, no big deal. You know, we're like, you know, the diaper, let's change it. Let's talk about it. You know, this is what you do on date nights now. You talk about changing a diaper. It became all of a sudden comfortable because what I thought then changed how I lived. And so this morning, I pray that you would consider the truth of the resurrection and it would change how you lived. I got to tell you, Paul, throughout the scriptures in Acts 17, he would go around telling people about the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And in Acts 17, it says, Paul told about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he said some laughed, and he said some said they want to hear more. And so I pray that if you're here today and you're just interested in hearing about Jesus, I pray that you would be understand the resurrection better, and I pray that you would cause to live your life for the Lord Jesus. It would cause you to live differently. And if you're here this morning, you're just checking out Jesus, you probably have some fundamental questions. You might be asking yourself, would trusting Jesus really change anything? And I got to tell you, the answer is yes. Trusting Jesus will change your life. Will committing to follow Christ affect me tomorrow when I wake up? So when you wake up Monday morning, will it change anything? The answer is yes, absolutely. And will Jesus make any difference in my life? Yes. The answer is yes with my friends or with my family or in my future. The answer is yes, yes, and yes. So I believe all of our questions are answered today in this Easter miracle. And today that answer is yes. So Easter is really the yes message. Is God good? Yes. Does God love me? Yes. Can my sins be forgiven? Yes. Is there a place for me in heaven as a believer in Jesus Christ? Yes, I believe all of our answers are answered here in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, he will make an incredible difference in your life as you turn your life over to him. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 24, reading the Easter miracle. We're going to read verses 1 through 12 this morning. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and then on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Here we see this Easter morning, this Easter miracle, these women going to the tomb, and they find that it's empty. And it's just like he had said all along. I think it's important for us to know this morning, this Easter miracle, there's three parts that you got to know. First of all, Jesus really died, okay? He really died. He died for the sins of our sins. If you've lied, if you've thought impure thoughts, if you struggle in some way, you know that you have sinned. Therefore, he died for those sins. We know that the people placed a crown of thorns on him. He was beaten and whipped. He was placed on the cross, and nails were driven into his hands and into his feet to place him on that cross. And then he breathed his last, and he said, "It is finished." After he died, we know that they took his body and they buried him. They put him in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, okay? We know that. And then day one, dead. Day two, dead. Day three, boom, he is resurrected. So we got to know this morning that Jesus is alive, that he has been resurrected. And this is the ultimate proof. This is God's ultimate proof of the supernatural. This is kind of the main event to the New Testament. It's really what is verified and prophesied in the Old Testament. If you were to read Isaiah 53, it talks all about the resurrection of our Messiah. And Jesus, he's on the way to Jerusalem. He's on the way to the cross. He talked about this all the time to the people all around him. He says in Matthew 16:21, Jesus explained, "He must be killed and on the third day raised to life." Matthew 17, verse 22, it says, "The Son of Man must be killed, and on the third day, he will be raised to life." Matthew 20, verses 17, "On the third day, he will be raised to life." And then here, these women enter the tomb, and they're like, "What happened?" They're wondering where he is. And then the angel reminds them, it says, just like he said, he would be turned over and he would be persecuted and then crucified and he would be dead and buried. But on the third day, he would be raised to life. And they remembered. So he talked about this. It was no secret that he kept. But this morning, I want you to know that people all over the world have tried to discredit this. They have tried to discredit that Jesus really was raised from the dead. And this morning, I want us to just go through and see some of the arguments. There's two that aren't as serious, and there's two that people have really taken serious over the last couple thousand years. First of all, the first argument that he was just another man is the fact that they believe they went to the wrong tomb. They went to the wrong tomb, okay? We saw him be buried, and we went away to get the spices, and somehow we were grieving so hard that we forgot where this tomb was. Well, after the story started to spread about Jesus being raised from the dead, don't you think they would have said, "You guys, you're two blocks off. It's right over there. It's just around the corner. How could you do that?" They would have corrected that. There is no way. That's absolutely absurd. The second thought is that there was just a spiritual resurrection. This was not a bodily resurrection. This was not a physical resurrection. And I got to tell you, would the disciples have based their life on this? Just saying, "Hey, let's just kind of make up this symbolic spiritual resurrection just so we feel a little bit better about it." I tell you this, that is absolutely not true. But the two that have gained the most traction over the last 2,000 years is one that the disciples stole the body. A lot of people say, "Oh, the disciples must have stolen the body." Let me tell you, they put Jesus in the tomb. What they did is they rolled a 1.5-ton stone right in front of it. And then they put five seals across it, and they would have sealed it. And then they would have put in probably 16 guards, they estimate, that would have been watching the tomb day in and day out. And all of a sudden, you know, those guards would have fallen asleep, they would have been capital punishment. Their clothes would have been ripped off right there, thrown into the fire, and they would have been thrown into the fire right after. So they were highly motivated to stay awake. But somehow these disciples, who were fishermen and tax collectors, thought, "You know what, let's become SEAL Team 6 and let's go in. And we all of a sudden, we're going to, you know, roll away that stone. We're going to steal the body." I mean, that's what we're talking about here. And the final theory is this one's called the swoon theory, where these Roman soldiers who were very good at crucifying people that are murderers and thieves, and they put them on the cross, but somehow with this one, they kind of messed up. Even though they knew how the crucifixion goes, they believed Jesus was dead, but he was really just unconscious. And they pulled him down and they put him in the grave. And then when Jesus woke up, he somehow, with wounds in his hands, wounds in his feet, and a pierced in his side, in between the ribs, they pierced his heart where blood and water flowed. Somehow he had the strength to move that stone and say, "I am here, the risen Savior." And they don't have any records of anyone bandaging his wounds. But we also know that over 500 saw and attested to Jesus Christ. So I need you to know this morning, fundamentally, Jesus absolutely really did die. Jesus was really buried, and he was absolutely resurrected and raised from the grave. Praise the Lord. And this makes all the difference this morning. This morning, we are going to look at the meaning of the Easter miracle, because it has such importance. The first thing I want you to know is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. That's the cornerstone of our faith, that Jesus was resurrected from the grave. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3-6, it says this: "I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, as the Scripture said. And he was seen by Peter and then the 12 apostles. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 followers at one time." So we got to know that this is the cornerstone of our faith. And if he was not raised from the grave, 1 Corinthians 15:14 tells us, "And if Christ was not raised, then all of our preaching is useless, and your trust in God is useless." It's just made up. So if Jesus was not resurrected, first thing we know is that our preaching would be useless, worthless. You don't need to show up. We don't need to dive into the Word to see what's true. It's just all useless. If the resurrection wasn't true, then it also means the apostles, the disciples, were all liars because they held this truth and were martyred for this truth that Jesus was raised from the grave, and they held that all the way to their end. And it also means that our faith is meaningless. That there's really, we're no better off than somebody who worships the stars or the mountains or whatever, that our faith is meaningless. It means also, unfortunately, if he was not raised from the grave, we are trapped in our sin. We have no power. When you're struggling, when you have sin, you have no power to overcome that sin, is what it means. And there's no meaning in life. All our hope is gone. And unfortunately, this is what it means. If he does not raise from the grave, then it means all of life ends at the grave. All of life ends at the grave. But praise the Lord, we know he has been risen from the grave and he is alive today, and the resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith. The second point is the resurrection is a sign that shouts, God loves me, that he loves you and me. I got to tell you, yesterday we had Egg Normus. For those of you who came, it was great. And those of you who participated, thank you for your help. It was such a fun day. But when you're a little kid, isn't it amazing how many people want to line up and love on you? I mean, strangers want to come up and hug you, and everybody wants to get your picture, and you pose with your basket, and it's so cute. When you're a kid, people are lined up to love on you. But when you're an adult, it's not so, we're not so lovable, are we? There's no line out the door ready to love on us, is there? Middle school, high school, it starts to disappear a little bit more. College, it's like, are you home? You know? And then when you become an adult, all of a sudden our relationships get pretty complex. People start hanging out with us, and that boyfriend, girlfriend just says, ah, it's over, I'm done. There's no love there. And there's tensions at home. We're stressed out. Sometimes there's an illness, we get sick, and all of a sudden that keeps us away from hanging out with others. And maybe we're not in the in crowd, you know? So you wonder, does anyone really love me? Well, let me tell you, when Jesus was raised from the grave, he is saying, I love you. That is the answer, is yes, he does love us. You are loved. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Christ loves you. And it's his way of shouting to us that I love you, I want you, and I'll do anything for you. And he did. Jesus Christ did. He went to the cross for my sins. He went to the cross for your sins, to pay for them, to take the sting of death away. But that's what we deserve. That's the seriousness of our sin, is that we deserve death. But yet Jesus took that upon himself. He paid that because he loves us. And I got to tell you, it's springtime, isn't it? And or it's not sure if it's springtime outside, but I think it's springtime. And every spring, a lot of times outside my house, for some reason, my house attracts a ton of wasps, okay? And we get those wasp nests everywhere, and they're all around the house. Well, my wife is allergic to wasp stings, and so it'll just kind of cause her to swell up. And my boys are kind of afraid of them because they're not sure if they're allergic to them. And so every time that gets pretty bad, I get out all these spray cans, and I get this broom out. And I'm like, okay, you guys, inside. It's time for me to take over. And I kind of march out there, and I kind of act tough. And I get that broom ready, and I have no plan, and I hit that wasp net, and I go around smacking them all down, like 12 of them, and wasps are everywhere, and I'm running around like crazy, and my boys are thinking, wow, way to go, Dad, you're awesome, and I'm out there fearful, they don't know, you know, and but once in a while, there's a sting. I get it stung as well, and let me tell you, it hurts. A lot of times I run inside. I won't cry in front of them, but I will put an ice pack on there and I'll complain about it for 3 days. But, I got stung. And so here's the deal. Jesus took that sting for us. That's what he did. In 1 Corinthians 15:5, it says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? So you are a much loved person. Whether you know it or not, whether you're aware of it, whether you're open to it, whether you accept it, God relentlessly wants to pursue you through Jesus Christ. The third thing about the resurrection of Jesus and the Easter miracle, it tells us that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God, and there is power, and he has given us power. I want you to know, if Jesus can overcome the grave, think of what power is available to us as well. and what he wants to do in your life. I don't know what fears you came in here with this morning, what brokenness, but I hope that you see hope. And I hope that you see that. Matthew 19:26 says, Jesus looked at them. Humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. God wants to heal. He wants to move in your marriage and relationships, in your friendships, in a family relationship that's strained that you haven't talked to them a long time. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, you receive power. Power through the Holy Spirit that is promised to you and comes in and gives you the power to overcome those things that you're just stuck in and those sins that keep entangling you. Ephesians 1:19-20 says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So you have power this morning to overcome and to trust in Jesus. And I pray this morning that you would put your faith and your trust in him. Because before the disciples before the resurrection looked a lot different than after the resurrection. This is just the truth. The disciples followed him. But before the resurrection, you couldn't get the disciples to get up and get off and do what he has commanded them to do. But then after the resurrection, you could not shut them up. They could not be silent. They wanted to stand and proclaim the hope of Jesus. Before the resurrection, the disciples were afraid. They were fearful. But after the resurrection, they had courage and boldness, and they proclaimed Jesus. Before the resurrection, they had this mind that was kind of limited, not fully understanding, questioning things. But after the resurrection, they were confident and had wisdom and strength. And before the resurrection, they were trying to seek direction and figure out where God was calling them. But then after the resurrection, they were giving direction. They were actually discipling and building disciples. So there is an incredible difference before the resurrection and after the resurrection. I pray this morning that you would know the power of a resurrected Savior. I don't know if you came in here and you're just here and you're ready to have lunch and you're just excited for the day and have the Easter egg hunt, and that's a wonderful part of the celebration, but I pray this morning that you would trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he has been raised from the grave because he loves you and that he wants a personal relationship with you. That he shouted, when you see that open tomb, that empty tomb, it's an open invitation into a relationship with your Heavenly Father because he made a way. Would you pray with me this morning? Oh Lord, we come before you this morning.
We hope you have enjoyed this message from God's Word. If you would like to know more about New Hope and its worship services, please visit our website at newhopemcpherson.com. Remember, God is always up to something good.